So I just wanted to kind of, you know, refresh your memories just a little bit. Last week we went to the, what's called the Academy of Royal Ambassadors, is that what it was? Yeah. So you remember you went through that process and you got your diplomas and everything. And so just wanted to remind you of that. That was the beginning of Luke chapter 10, which you all know from the Luke 10 1 thing, you know, about being sent out. And that's what it was. And just isn't it amazing the coincidence that here, the next lessons right after that, in that same chapter, we get something about your neighbor and how you're supposed to love your neighbor and who is your neighbor and the parable of the Good Samaritan, which, you know, I think probably all of you have heard the parable of the Good Samaritan before. And I was like, oh, I'm going to preach on the parable of the Good Samaritan. And he said, no, you're not. And I'm like, oh, okay. Because, you know, you've heard it a lot. It's probably one of the best known of all of Jesus's parables in religious circles and in secular circles as well. So I'm not going to go there. I'm not going to tell you all about the Pharisee and what he was trying to accomplish there, how he was particularly interested in getting Jesus to segregate people by saying, who is my neighbor? He was asking for permission to segregate people right there, and Jesus wouldn't do it. So everyone is your neighbor. That's the point, right?
There you go.
That's the point. You've got no segregation. There is no this group and that group. Everyone is the same. So that's where that was. Now, so like I said, I'm not going to preach on that. We got that out of the way. Right? Yeah, got that out of the way now. So last week during the service, I heard the word all of a sudden, and I believe this came from the Lord, hypocrites. And I'm like, wow, what is that, you know? And no, it wasn't during the sermon, Father. So just to ease your mind there. During praise and worship, I heard this, hypocrites, you know? And, sometimes Satan will level that accusation at you. You're a hypocrite, you know? You're just not doing what you say you're doing. But it wasn't like that. It wasn't that kind of a word. It was a word from the Lord, I believe. And it wasn't that he was accusing me of being a hypocrite or any of us either, okay? So set your minds at ease. But he started making me think on that, of course, and pray on that. And even during the communion, I heard a little bit more about that. And he said, if not for confession, we would be hypocrites. And I was like, wow, okay. So obviously, I needed to figure out more about what he was talking about here and understand a little bit better. So I started to pray about this and meditate on that through the week and was, some things that happened during the week, being sick and things like that kind of tried to derail me. But I continued to pray about that. And I'm going to try and open this up a little bit more for you as we go. But I really just have to go back to Deuteronomy chapter 30 because it's such a funny thing there that I just love. And in Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 11, as you heard this today, and it's just great, he says, now, what I'm commanding you today is not too difficult for you or beyond your reach. Okay. He's telling them that, you know, and that just, I just think it's so funny because I was reading from the Hebrew Names version, and for some reason I wanted to kind of get a little flavor in my readings, you know, so I've been using that Bible, and it says, for this mitzvah, which I command you this day, it's not too hard for you, neither is it far off, okay? But essentially, for that, in the next couple of verses, the Lord is telling them, look, this is not rocket science, okay? Even you can understand what I'm trying to tell you here, okay? And I just love that passage. Isn't it great? Choose life. It's not a hard decision, okay? In fact, it's black and white, pretty much black and white. There aren't any gray areas here, okay? And I was thinking that's what it's like with hypocrisy, okay? Because I think it's impossible to sort of be a hypocrite. Either you are or you aren't, okay? You can't sort of be a hypocrite. It's really kind of a black and white thing. And so I started thinking, well, we'd better learn a little bit more about hypocrisy and see what this is, okay? Well, you know, the word comes from the Greek, hypocrisis, which in some ways you could easily understand as being play-acting, okay? So play-acting. Hypocrisy, okay? It's like being an actor. And, you know, as kids, we all like to play act, right? We put on these other personas and try them out for a while. Princess, you know, knight, you know, all these sorts of things. And then as we grow up, some people become actors. And they continue play acting, and that's okay. The difference is that a hypocrite doesn't want you to know they're acting, okay? That's the big difference, okay? And so, for instance, say some people in the 1980s would have accused Ronald Reagan of being a hypocrite because he was an actor who could act like a president, and you wouldn't know whether he was acting or telling the truth, whether he knew, understood what he was talking about, or just acting. And so it was kind of a strange thing, you see. And for this reason, I think many of us have been uncomfortable with the idea of actors becoming politicians. Because you're like, well, but they're good actors. They're better actors than some of the politicians I know, right? Well, anyway. So, but to see the expand this idea of play acting, you know, put it another way, hypocrisy is the assumption of a counterfeit persona. And that's where we get that modern term of hypocrisy and its negative connotation, you know, of being labeled a hypocrite, you see. In other words, a liar, lying, someone who is posing as something that they really aren't, deceiving others. That's that bad label of hypocrisy, shall we say. So this is where everybody goes around saying, you hypocrite, hypocrite, you know. You're a liar. Here's another, for instance. So we were talking about different advertising and things last night, the kids and us, and I won't go into that, but advertising is a great place to find hypocrisy. Okay, you know, I know this large health system that was recently changed hands. I won't name their name. On their website, it says, our mission, you. Okay, sounds nice, you know. But this same health system, I just learned this week, offers a really nice weight loss program. And it had a $500 copay before, and this was actually affordable for a patient that I know of who was 500 pounds and really wanted to lose weight. And he was in the program and doing very well. But when it changed hands, the copay became $2,500. And he could no longer afford this insurance or this program. And so he started gaining weight again. Our mission? You? Well, not sure about that. So maybe there's a little hypocrisy going on there. You see what I'm talking about? It occurs in advertising all the time. That's just one example. I mean, I know that ads, you know that ads on TV and newspaper and all that sort of stuff, they aren't really all true, right? You know this, don't you? You do know that.
Just like,
you know everything on the internet is not true, right? Okay. It's like another big box appliance seller who proclaims free delivery and installation, as easy as that. Well, we found out differently. It wasn't easy, you know. Well, it didn't turn out to be free either, so. Hypocrisy, that's another example, okay? They're so prevalent in our society, we don't even think about them. So, but this is what I'm talking about there, okay? Now, A British political philosopher wrote one thing. He said, other kinds of hypocritical deception include claims to knowledge that one lacks, like an actor posing as a president, say, claims to a consistency that one cannot sustain, sort of like an advertiser, okay, claims to a loyalty that one does not possess. That'd be like me saying, you know, I know George Clooney. Yeah, me and him, real tight, real good friends, you know. But that's not true, okay, see? So that's a hypocrite right there. And this last one, he said, claims to an identity that one does not hold. Interesting. Claims to an identity that one does not hold. This is hypocrisy. Jesus had to deal with hypocrisy as well, and you know these scriptures as well as I do, but in Matthew 7:5 he says, you hypocrite, first take the plank out of your own eye, and then you'll see clearly to move the speck in your brother's eye. He also had much more to say to the Pharisees. If you want to go to Matthew 23, you know, he just over and over, hypocrites, brood of vipers, you scribes and Pharisees, he just goes on and on, just hammering them right there, because those who acted morally superior and did no wrong did wrong and were not morally superior. OK, Okay, they were putting on a persona that they that was counterfeit. It was not them. They were play acting. Okay, and this is why Jesus admonishes them to remove the sin from their own eye first before worrying about someone else's. Political journalist Michael Gerson notes that being a moral person is a struggle in which everyone repeatedly fails, becoming a hypocrite in each of these moments. A just and peaceful society depends on hypocrites who ultimately refuse to abandon the ideals they betray. Interesting. See, what I'm talking about here is trying to adhere to the law. That thing that you heard about in Deuteronomy there where he said, if you'll follow my commandments, you'll do well. But you know what? It ultimately, for your life, is impossible to do that. Because you will all fall from the law. You all transgress the law, and we all become hypocrites. And a just and peaceful society depends on hypocrites who ultimately refuse to abandon the ideals that they betray. This guy goes on to even claim that it is actually a necessary part of diplomacy. For if no one were a hypocrite and everyone were moral and followed the law, no one would know what immorality was. Now, that's going a little bit stretched, because that's saying that if you didn't know what black was, you wouldn't know what white was. If black did not exist, you wouldn't know what white was. And that's going a little bit far, because that's that yin and yang sort of thing, which I don't necessarily agree with. I think God is bigger than that, and total good is bigger than that. So, I'm sorry, I'm getting off. Anyway, so, everyone's a hypocrite. Okay, that's where we're coming down. Yeah, hypocrites! But according to him, we all are. And if we strive to live this moral life and reach this goal of perfection, is what we're talking about here, and we don't, we're committing hypocrisy. Okay? If you say that you live by a code of conduct, a set of laws, but you fail to, even just for a moment, then you're assuming a counterfeit persona. And it's in this moment that I'm reminded of confession. You see, because, and understand, I'm talking about all forms of confession, any way of confessing, your personal confession when you're talking to God yourself, that, oh, I did that, and I'm so sorry, Lord, and please forgive me for this. Or when you do your daily confession, you say, most merciful God, I confess that I have sinned against you. Or when you come here on Sunday and you confess your sins as a corporate body, as part of the whole. Or if you go to a priest and confess your sins individually. Okay, all of the above. All right, we're talking about confession here. All right? And you know that process where you can ask for forgiveness for the times when you fail to meet the code of conduct, that set of laws. And you say, well, but Father Chris, we aren't under the law anymore, thanks to the sacrifice of Jesus. Yes, very true, isn't it? Isn't it? We aren't under the law. We have a new, authentic persona in Jesus, as children of God, all because of that confession thing, all because of Jesus' forgiveness for us, so that that set of laws that you read about, heard about in Deuteronomy, do not apply the same way. Okay, we are not under the curse of that now. We can be forgiven even if we make a mistake from time to time. Okay. But at the same time, we are representing Jesus, aren't we? Like Father David told you last week in the Academy of Royal Ambassadors, we're acting like Christ. We are standing in for him. In some ways you could say we are play-acting Christ, okay? But we're not really. Now, wait a minute, let's see. But if we're going to do that, and he's sinless, so to be like him, we have to be sinless. The only way to be sinless is to confess your sins. So, the need for confession. Okay, maybe this is a commercial for confession. Get your confession today. When Jesus sacrificed himself on the cross for us, taking our sins upon him, he once and for all removed the curse of sin over us. Hallelujah. We are no longer under the law. We receive our new persona as children of God. And though we're not slaves to sin any longer, we still sin from time to time. I don't know about you, but I do. Okay. And in order not to be hypocrites, we have to confess our sins. That's why we do this every Sunday here. You know, some people might come in and say, gee, those people sure do confess a lot. You know, I don't know what's going on with them. What are they, really bad or something? No. This is why. It's necessary. So for you to be in Christ, you have to have dealt with your sin. Okay? And this has large implications for us if we're going to represent Christ, either individually on our daily basis or corporately if we do an outreach or something. We've got to be prepared daily, weekly, or before an outreach, supposedly. Now, I read to you above that a hypocrite claims an identity that they don't hold. Let me get this thing right. Jesus gave us a new identity. He made us heirs of the kingdom, children of God. And that never changes, like I said, because of Jesus' once and final work for us. If not for that, we would be hypocrites, trying to attain a moral standard that we continually fall short of. That's why I heard, if not for confession, we would be hypocrites. But we are also ambassadors of the kingdom. And so to represent the king, we must regularly, daily, confess our sins. So one preacher said one time, keep short books. Don't let too much time go by without taking inventory of your sin and confessing it. Because it affects your ability to be an ambassador. Only after confession can you adequately represent the king. You see, and in those times when, you know, people find out you're a Christian, they say, oh, you're a hypocrite, you know. You might hear that, you know, you will hear that a lot, believe me. Yeah, you Christians are hypocrites, you know. I see you, you know, saying you're going to do all this great stuff, and then you're flying down the road at 90 miles an hour. Well, you can say, well, coming to Jesus doesn't make you perfect, only forgiven. Right. Would you like to be forgiven too? That's the answer. And see, either we're doing it on our own, or we're letting God do it. On our own, without confession, without keeping short accounts, it's hypocrisy. Letting God do it through us, after having confessed our sins, it's glorious. Children of God. It's a simple either or. It's black or white. Okay? It's life or death. See, I believe he gave me that word, hypocrisy, as a reminder that we are fully and completely dependent upon him for everything. For everything. A Danish theologian wrote, a person must be content to be as he is, a dependent being, as little capable of sustaining himself as of creating himself. Hypocrite claims to an identity that he doesn't hold. But we do hold the identity. We are children of God. We are fully dependent on him and sold out 100% to our God. We know that we don't do everything perfectly. We just know we're forgiven. If we confess our sins, you know that he is faithful, right? And this is a strange word, and I was thinking, you know, that's really a strange word, Lord. I'm not going to preach that. But then we got wonderful confirmation this morning about that, and that Amanda pointed out to me in the daily office. It says the same things. Romans 10, chapter 4. I was reading through that, And it's like, wow, thank you, Lord. Romans 10, chapter 4, I mean, verse 4, says, Christ is the end of the law, so that there may be righteousness for everyone who believes. Amen. Amen. See, without him we are hypocrites. With him we are children of God. So like the Hebrews, after it's all said and done, this is not rocket science. I probably lost you somewhere in the middle there, especially when I was talking about whether you could see black or white. But this is not rocket science. It's either or. It's life or death. Either you're dependent on him fully or going solo. Fully dependent on him is this. For I command you today to love the Lord your God. And in the gospel it said, you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your strength, with all your mind, and love your neighbor as yourself. Do this, and you will live. Amen.